I'm going to try something new today.
Do it. Try it.
Okay. So we're going to go with welcome, welcome, welcome. I stole that from another podcast.
Oh, wow.
It's really embarrassing. I'm going to hate listening to this, but welcome, Julie. This is Watch This with your hosts, Paul Klein, to my left.
Alex Bello.
And in front of me.
Stephanie X. Caplano.
Italian explosion. You have to speak a little bit louder into the microphone because it got about a quarter of that.
Yeah. Because you were going to say Italian explosion and then you backed out.
I mixed them both in my head.
We will not be editing this.
Yeah, it's staying just like
this
that.
This is a raw.
Do you want us to turn up your mic a little bit?
I think we have to. I think last time we had to.
I'm also losing my voice right now.
Okay.
So it's even worse.
Should we be concerned while you're losing your voice?
I yell a lot.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's not illness is what I'm getting to.
No,
okay.
It's just sore.
Okay.
Like not
okay.
Sick sore, just like.
Okay. Like a normal sore.
Yeah.
So this is a movie review podcast. Movie discussion podcast?
Yeah.
I think movie discussion podcast.
We do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today we're going to be talking about, and actually to tell us the title of the movie, we have a special guest here today. So let's all welcome our special guest, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's happening.
Why do I know where this is going?
Oh, you know where this is going. The movie that we are going to be talking about today is... That didn't work at all.
Yeah.
You tried. We gave it a shot. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Flow.
Indeed.
I watched a movie back in early December. My co-hosts just watched it now. Some of them, actually both of them, having just finished it now. And I was a little jealous because they all came on. They're like, oh my gosh, I want to talk about this movie. And I agree. But I didn't feel as enthusiastic because I haven't watched it in about 2.5 months. And so we use Alex's Max account and we queued it back up and we just watched it all the way through just now. So we've all seen it basically twice except for Stephanie because she, for some reason, didn't finish it.
I've seen it once and a half.
Of course, yeah.
I don't like you sitting next to me, Alex. I feel I have to always turn my head to look at you. No. You know what? This is good.
I was doing this. Yeah. I'm kind of at the edge of the table. For our listeners who can't see us right now, we're all sitting at like the far corners of the table.
Yeah. As if somebody farted. Is basically how we're sitting.
Right.
We're kind of sitting as if Alex farted.
Everyone's kind of far away from me. But it's fine. I like it. It's okay. Stay away.
Okay. We are talking about the animated movie Flow, which is nominated for both Best Animated Feature and Best Foreign Language Feature, right?
Correct, yeah.
And I love that it's foreign language since there's no dialogue in the movie whatsoever.
Yeah, they're actually, the animals are actually speaking Latvian.
Yes, yeah. Which Latvian, nobody actually knows this, actually sounds like this. Meow.
Yeah.
Meow. 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 I'm going to keep going. We'll just keep going.
Please don't.
The movie is directed by, Alex, could you please help us out here?
Gins Zilbalodis.
Gins Zilbalodis.
Yes.
Alex, you wanted to say it and I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say it.
You weren't going to say it?
No.
Pretty good pronunciation.
It's not bad, right?
No.
Yeah. I watched an interview with him yesterday to kind of prepare for Flow. And like the moment he started speaking, I started laughing because for some reason, all Eastern Bloc people sound like this when they talk. They go, I'm talking about this movie. You want to watch the Flow? There's a cat. And the cat sounds like a camel. I don't know why everybody gets that high kind of pitched voice.
Yeah.
But it didn't surprise me one bit. So where do we want to start with Flow? Okay, I'm going to start with, I think on our last episode when we were talking about the substance, we waited to give away what we actually thought about the movie. I think you guys know I love Flow, so let's get that out of the way. Do we want to start there? Do we want to kind of go around the table and how do we feel about the movie?
I like starting there. Do you want to go first?
Okay. Oh my gosh, I haven't even had the time to think about what I feel about it yet.
Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a second. As someone who doesn't watch a lot of animation,
boo.
And I wasn't particularly excited to watch it when you told me about it.
But like Hundreds of Beavers?
Hundreds of Beavers I was excited for just because you didn't tell me what it was about. And Flo, for a long time, I thought it was about a fox, and we had a whole conversation about this.
Did we? I forgot about that.
Yeah. Remember, we were out there, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's a fox, and then everybody looked at me like, I'm the idiot. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, based on the picture, you thought it was a fox. Picture,
I thought it was a fox.
A black cat.
Whatever.
For some reason, Alex thought it was a fox.
Yeah. Whatever.
Good that you brought it back up again.
Right.
Because we will not tease you about that.
Of course. But you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Good.
I think of all the like animated, the last time I saw an animated movie was when we did a pilot episode for this show, just you and I, and we did Suzume, that was the last time I watched something animated. And ooh, so I'm happy that I saw it. Yeah, I really liked it. I loved it, actually. I wasn't bothered having to see it a second time. I was actually pretty excited to see it.
There was a part of me, because you were on the phone, but I know now why you were on the phone, but like as we were watching it the second time now, I saw you on the phone.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like, this fucker.
No. Yeah. I was just on my phone because I was someone was texting me about something.
But you were also looking up information on the movie.
I was also Googling. Yeah. I was Googling while watching. Every time I had a question in my head, I was like, Google.
Alex Bello Googling while watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we all had, like, you know how, like, in these terrible, like, Pulp Fiction ripoffs, when they're introing the character and then they stop the frame and then, like, their name comes on there.
Oh. Yeah.
And, like, a little saying underneath, that'll be yours.
That'll be mine.
Googling while watching.
Yeah.
Mine will be, like, Paul falling asleep.
No, yours would be, never mind. Stephanie, what'd you think of the movie? Yeah.
Good.
Back to me.
All right.
Okay. I like the movie.
Uh-huh.
I do. I usually really like animated films.
Right.
Especially ones that have, like, animal characters in them. I wouldn't say this is my favorite of the year. There was something about it that just, it didn't hit me quite as hard as I would have liked. Not that the movie's bad or anything, just over preference. I wouldn't say I disliked it, though. I'm going to give it, like, what's our rating?
We have four. It's Paul's, based on our last one, but I don't know if we did it out of four or five.
We did four Paul's.
I prefer four. That's why I'm hoping for four. Yeah.
Right. I'd probably give it, like, 3.5 Paul's out of four.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good, but not, like, my ultimate favorite.
Got it.
Can you actually tell us what your ultimate favorite is? Is that what you're going to ask?
Okay.
Of the year?
Yeah.
Or of my life?
Of 2024, when the movie came out.
I would say probably The Substance, because I can't shut up about it.
Animated movie.
Oh, animated
movie. Yeah.
Right, because I thought that's what you were saying, was that the flow was...
Oh, no. I would probably say Memoir of a Snail.
Okay.
That one got me going. That one got me crying.
I haven't seen it, so I can't give an opinion on
same.
It. But
yeah.
Same. But speaking of crying, Jessica joined us in our collective second viewing. And Jessica was bawling at the end of the movie.
I was crying on the inside, so I don't blame her.
Okay.
I was kind of alluding to that today. I didn't want to tell you guys the ending, but when I was trying to get ready for today's episode, I YouTube had the last 3 minutes, and I was like, I wanted to see what the final shot was. I know how it ended, but I wanted to see what the final shot was. And I was like, I know it's going to happen, and I don't want to see it again.
Yeah.
And I watched it again, and I was like, fuck, it really upsets me. And then, like, watching it now again, I was like, oh. And I wanted to warn Jessica. I was actually going to tell her to leave. I think it's important to mention, though, that, like, you know, even this is a movie about a bunch of animals basically surviving the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like a huge flash flood kind of thing, like a tsunami. I don't even know.
Yeah, the whole world still is still confused biblical... about the setting of this movie.
Well, I mean, think of it this way. This is not a natural flood, right? This is like a flood of biblical proportions. It just doesn't stop. It keeps going higher and higher. I mean, apparently, from what I'm seeing, there's a lot of visual cues that remind me of Buddhism, of monks who usually would be in the Himalayas, like up high in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the water is reaching at this point, and it just keeps going higher and higher. So for everybody here who has not seen Flow, basically it's an 80-minute movie, I think without credits, about 80 minutes long. It was animated on open source software called
Blender.
Blender. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Blender. Are you?
I've never used it personally, but I know a lot of people that have used it before for like editing and for like animation.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like a website on
the
internet.
It's so cool.
It's super cool. The whole thing was just done on Blender.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Hundreds of Beavers used to edit?
No, they used After Effects for Hundreds of Beavers.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Which I think is probably more expensive, like the subscription for the Adobe Cloud to use After Effects than it is to like use Blender, which is
cool. Well,
crazy.
Blender, if it's open source, means it's free,
it's free,
right?
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah,
insane.
It's kind of like I use Audacity to edit podcasts, right? It's the same idea.
Yeah.
But they made a feature film with it, and it looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not perfect in every way, like let's say a Pixar movie would be, or a $100 million budget American animated movie. I think Gins Zilbalodis.
I don't think we need the woman anymore.
I think I got it. Yeah. I'm going to call my child Gins.
Gins.
Yeah, because I want him to grow up hating me.
Yeah.
But Gins Zilbalodis was saying that he actually wanted imperfections in the movie.
Okay.
That he didn't want everything to be completely polished. And so he kind of liked that. And there is a, you know, you look at it and it's like the character designs aren't perfect necessarily, but they really, really do a great job of the way that they move their expressions.
Yeah.
Where it's like a balance between, you know, full on animal and just a hint of human, you know, anthropomorphism to kind of, you know, sell it a little bit more. But never losing their animal qualities. And it's clear, it's very clear that They did a lot of research. Apparently, they were all like filming their cats and their animals and going to the zoos and filming capybaras.
Yeah,
to get the expressions and the movements correct. And I think that the movie does a really great job.
Yeah, 100%. I even thought at one point, like I was telling Stephanie, it looks like they did motion capture on animals.
It has a bit of a motion capture. Yeah, yeah.
But they don't make motion capture suits for animals. So I was like, they definitely did not do mocap.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you're saying I was thinking rotoscoping, the old school where you would take footage and then animate over it.
Oh no. I was mentioning like the morph suits with the balls on it. Like I just imagined like a little cat running around with one of those things on.
The behind the scenes would be very interesting. On that movie. Would. So you have all these really well animated animals, and again, they are only slightly anthropomorphized. They are animals, and basically, what we're following is a cat who is living by himself or herself. We don't know. They don't have names apparently. Not even behind the scenes. They're just called cat, capybara,
retriever.
And so, it looks like it's taking place on our planet, on Earth. There are, of course, lots of things left behind by humans, but we do not see a single human. It looks like apparently that they have been wiped out somehow.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But I would say recently, right?
Because when they show the inside of the house where the cat is living, there's like a freshly sculpted, I don't know how freshly, but there's a sculpted figure of a cat with a drawing.
Yeah.
And like the chisel is still there, the wood chips are still laying there.
The bed is unmade.
Yeah. The cat sleeps in like the human bed. Yeah. I was so confused about that. That seemed to be the only cat in a house covered in cat sculptures and drawings and a big giant like cat. Like there was like a religion based on cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, yeah.
That lived there that were like recently just fled. It was like all the humans just suddenly got evacuated and left all the animals behind.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get into some theories as we get to the because there's a big what the fuck moment, which I really did enjoy watching with everybody here, because especially Jessica was very verbal and she was like, what the fuck just happened? And I was like, good. The movie's doing its job.
Yeah.
And so basically we're just following these. So it's a cat who lives by himself and then slowly has to kind of against his will has to pair up with a bunch of other animals to survive. They get into a boat and they're going to a destination. They're somehow drawn to it. It seems to me nobody is guiding. Like, well, there's one character that seems to be guiding on purpose to this destination, but everybody somehow does seem to be drawn to this top of a mountain. Let's say,
yeah, it's like these mountains that look like fingers almost. They're like all like these like tall skinny mountains. At first, I thought it was a city skyline when the bird picks up a cat, and then you see like the. I see it in the background. I was like, oh, is this like New York City or something?
Yeah, it's these tall spires basically, but it's actually like, I don't know what it is. It looks like the top of a, well, I was going to say temple, but what I'm thinking of is like an altar almost, like Stonehenge, but like really, really high up. And again, like the decorations at the bottom suggest Himalayas to me. Like they have those flags on the strings and the buildings and everything. It looks kind of like Everest or something like that. And that's where they're going, and we'll leave it at that. I think that's all we need to say for now. Yeah. And we're just kind of following them being animals and sort of learning to
cooperate.
I think cooperate's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of see, like, as the movie progresses, they all start to get more comfortable with each other in a way. But there's still, like, their quirks there every now and then where it's like, okay, we're completely different species.
Yes.
I mean, I was from the beginning, I was always confused on how they knew how to drive that boat.
Right?
I was taken so off guard when all of a sudden the cat was just like driving this boat.
You kind of you roll with it, you know? Like he seems to be learning it from the beginning because he kind of is pushing it and he's like, "Oh, like when I do this, this is what happens."
That's true.
I don't think animals really actually do behave that way, and it's totally okay. That's what I mean is like the movie's very it is a mixture of very much animals. Like we said, there's no dialogue. They're not speaking. But they take a little bit of leeway and sometimes a little bit more than a little bit. But then again, when something happens towards the end of the movie, we start to find out this is not necessarily just straight up realism, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And that there is a magical element of some sort
a
or
mythical
supernatural.
Sort of. Yeah. You pick it up early on and then... Especially one thing that stood out to me, which I don't want to get too much into theories, but it was that statue that you were talking about, where it's like a massive statue. Like,
it's a giant cat statue.
It's a giant. And you see the scaffoldings.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is happening? And there seems to be also like a, I don't know what it is. It's like the glassware that's kind of throughout the movie. There's first like the ball with the ropes on it that are all over the room of the of the cat's owner.
Yeah.
And then we also see it later on when we first meet the lemur, which was my favorite character in the movie. He's kind of collecting like all these old
things left relics. Over from the humans. Yeah, relics from the humans.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you sort of, if you're expecting an answer to these questions, you're not going to get them directly, but clearly Gintz Zilbalodis is putting a bunch of hints in there. I mean, I figured that out on my own, but to be fair, you know, yesterday in an interview, he was like, yeah, so if you pay attention, there's, you know, you can see hints there. I tell you, I show you what's happening to this world, but you have to pay attention. So you have to pay attention. So you wanted to,
yeah. As I was watching it, I think I had told you that I was getting like Life of Pi vibes.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely.
Like very much.
Yeah.
And it was hard to like separate the two in my head. Because it was kind of like the same thing, like a bunch of different animals. And there was a part where I was really concerned at the end of it. It was going to be like, and they weren't animals after all.
Oh, that would have yeah. killed it. I know. Yeah. It was, I think the first time I watched it, I was a little nervous because the same thing. Because I was like, please don't fuck it up. This has been so good. Don't fuck it up. They do not fuck it up.
Yeah. Imagine they just show the cat. It's just like a dude.
It's a guy in a black suit.
Yeah.
Let's go around the table. I think, Alex, you questioned us on this outside, but I think we should do it here on the mic. Favorite animal/character in the movie? So just to lay it out, let's say what we have the options of. We have the cat. Yep. We have a capybara who is adorable, fat and lazy and smells.
And voiced by a baby camel, actually. And voiced by, I found out.
No.
Yeah. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell it. So apparently they went to a zoo to get the capybara noises. And they tried tickling the capybara to get the noise out of it. I love that part. And they didn't like how it sounded because they didn't feel like it fit the character. So instead, they decided to record baby camel noises. And I just thought that was so good because it's just like the tickle sounds probably sounded too like excited.
Probably like high-pitched.
Too high-pitched, yeah. And the capybara is just like chill. He's just like...
He's chill. he's like the stoner character in a college comedy. And he lumbers and... But he's the most good-natured and sort of just easy, as you said, easygoing, but also like taking care of everybody almost immediately.
Yeah, definitely. Except he did steal the lemurs.
But he didn't steal it. He was trying to get him. Yeah. The water was rising. He was trying to get him onto the boat. And yeah. so he was like, come on, let's go.
Helping him pack his stuff.
Yeah, he was helping him pack his stuff.
Oh, you know, for whatever reason, I thought he tried to steal it. And no. The lemur was chasing it, and that's why I jumped on the boat.
The lemur thought he was stealing.
Yeah.
Again, that's the miscommunication.
Oh, I guess that flew right over my head. I'm sorry.
So the movie's called Flow, and there is a real... I'm being really cheesy, but there is a real flow to the movie. Like, definitely. It doesn't really feel... There's a weird thing where it almost feels as if it's being done in one shot, like a one-take movie. But, I mean, there are clearly, you know, breaks and cuts and things like that. But there's long scenes, if you will, but never of a static camera. The camera's always floating, which is why I kind of go with the flow thing. It's always kind of floating, flying around. I mentioned my critics group. I'm going to keep mentioning them throughout the podcast.
Yeah.
They were talking about the movie before I saw it. And one of the guys who was a close friend of mine is not anymore. Doesn't matter. it's really boring. Don't worry. It's nothing major. He speaks critic talk. Like the way that he writes and speaks is like those blurbs from the critics, like on the poster or in a trailer. That's how he speaks. And so, you know, like it weaves a tapestry, you know. That kind of stuff. And he saw Flo before me and he went on our group chat and he was like, oh, the way that Gintz Zilbalodis, you know, his mastery of space. And I was like, prick. You know what I mean? Like just so you're so full of it. And I wanted to text him and be like, shut the fuck up and talk like a human being. So then I'm watching the movie about 10 minutes in, I was like, fuck, he is a master of space. Like he really, where he puts the camera and the way it moves around, it's beautiful.
I actually wanted to talk about this and bring it up now. I think this is a perfect time to bring it up. I've said this a lot about a lot of movies recently, and maybe it's just because video games have gotten so good that they're starting to like, video games and movies are starting to like almost become like one.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Yeah.
And I noticed like a lot of this movie reminded me of video game. Like I would play a video game with this like premise. Yeah. And there actually is a game that I believe it's called Stray. That I played a while back. And it reminded me a lot of this. And what you were saying, the mastery of space, he does this thing that I noticed. And one of the scenes that just comes to my mind immediately is when a cat is first starting to learn how to catch fish.
Yeah.
When he jumps in the water, they, or he or she, I don't know what the cat is.
Cat.
When cat, yeah, they, when they jump in the water, like you see it, like just starts on a fish, and then it kind of just like the one like green fish that's just kind of still in the school of fish, and then it just like pulls away perfectly and like opens up the frame, and yeah, then you see cat come in and take it. Just literally looked like introducing like a new mission in a video game, and the whole movie kind of flows like a video
game. Wow. That was my hold on, we'll go deeper.
Was that your Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, but you can't do it in one word or half
even,
a word.
Yeah.
Even flow. Wow. That's not, I'm not there.
That was like
what is that? What was that? It's not Eddie Vedder.
That was like Bob Dylan if you had like a really like sore throat. Like a deeper voice.
I like it.
Yeah.
I gotta work on my Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
You were saying it flows. The camera flows.
Yeah. The whole movie actually flows like a video game too. Like it you have like checkpoints throughout the movie. And even like with the puddle.
Different locations.
Yeah, different locations. But if you notice at the beginning of the movie when the when Kat first looks in the puddle, that like is one marker. And then in the middle of the movie looks in another puddle.
There's a lot of reflections in the movie.
And then at the end there's the which we'll get to that later. Yeah. But yeah, there's also different checkpoints where new characters are introduced, which is like when they arrive at each different spot, like the new characters come in.
So as he escapes flooding once again and he gets into the boat, the capybara is just like there.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks at him, he's like, what the fuck is this? And it's like, here's your new, and not an NPC, what's your...
Like your companion.
Your companion, But we were saying favorite characters, so I went through it, I was saying there's Kat, there's capybara, there is the lemur, the monkey that we mentioned. There is, what kind of bird was it?
A secretary bird.
Takes good notes, 100 words per minute.
Wow.
It's a secretary bird, people. You think I was not going to make the joke?
Yeah.
And what else am I missing? Is that it? Oh, the golden retriever.
Retriever,
He's a golden retriever.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
There's not different types of retrievers, are there?
There is.
Is there like a brown retriever?
There's like a Labrador retriever.
There's a chocolate retriever.
Chocolate retriever?
Yeah.
Do they bring chocolate back? Can I get one? If it brings chocolate back.
They don't bring chocolate
back. And why do I keep saying chocolate?
Because I think your voice.
Why can't I say chocolate?
I think your voice is starting to develop the Latvian accent.
What do you mean? I want to talk like this all the time.
I would quit working here if you talked like that all the time.
Could somebody please bring me a chocolate retriever? So those are like the main characters in the boat. Now there are other dogs who I hate saying they're pieces of shit. And I love dogs.
Yeah.
But let's focus on the animals in the boat, the boat animals, the boatimals.
Wow.
Who's your favorite boatimal? Italian explosion?
My favorite is the capybara. I don't relate to him, but I love him.
Yep.
Just because I said this before, if I was in a crisis situation, I would want him on my side.
Yeah.
He was there like the entire time. He was the one who got the bananas, who got the lemur in the boat. Like he was the one who was like, come on guys, hurry up. We gotta go. He slept the whole time. Like, he was just super chill. I loved him.
There is a part, I didn't see it this time because we had it projected, but I know there's like a part where they wake up and there's like flies flying around, and there is a piece of poop there. Like, he poops on the boat.
What? Yeah, I didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't notice it this time either, but I know it was there because the cat kind of looks at it and he's like, the fuck? Because he's a cat. Capybara is a very good choice. He is awesome. And I think the biggest laugh was when he tries to retrieve the lemur's precious object, the one you mentioned, the ball in the net, and he's swimming toward it like very slowly, but you know, with that determined, and then this giant whale starts to come up, and like without pausing, he just turns right around and goes back.
Yeah, we all laughed at that one. I didn't even catch it the first time I saw the movie.
The funny thing is that the cat was like watching him to learn how to swim correctly. So like
that's a good observation. Yeah.
And I forgot that capybaras are actually very good swimmers.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly, like, they're just big, like, kind of rats. Like, they're considered rodents.
Yeah.
I just find it so funny that they're, like, known for being good swimmers.
Yeah.
But they're so, like, lumpy and misshapen that you wouldn't think that they would sort of be, like, these good swimmers.
Like, they don't break water well. Like, they're just lumps.
Yeah.
But they break wind well.
Wow.
Nah, cut that out.
Hold up.
Fuck. Thank you. No, not that one. The crickets. I think it's the orange. There you go. Good.
Yeah.
I deserve that fully.
Yeah.
Capybara, your favorite? Mm-hmm. Alejandro?
But before we move on to mine, I want to add a new layer to this game, and I want to also say, despite that's your favorite one, I want to pick who I think you guys are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to start with you. Give me a second. I'm processing.
Wait, you're starting with whom?
Because she just did the.
But why are you processing?
I'm trying to think which animal. I was gonna say.
Excellent.
Yeah, because okay. I feel like other people are better judges of who you are.
I like that. That's very good.
We're saying what our favorites is. He's saying who we are.
We are. Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
With you, and this, I'm gonna go with the cat.
That's the safe choice.
No, I just you give that vibe. The cat. There was times where it was just kind of like. Like, just looked at stuff happening and then just kind of walked away. Yeah, and that's how, yeah, I think that's, I'll go with that one. I think that's a safe choice.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your favorite animal?
My favorite animal was the lemur. He's just so good. He reminded me of Jack Sparrow.
I can see that, actually. Yeah.
And there was even a scene where they, like, where they pull away when they all first see the ruined city that they're approaching.
Uh-huh.
And the lemur is, like, up on the hull of the ship, like, mm-hmm. I used to know a lot of boat.
Terminology?
Yeah, terminology, because I used to play a lot of Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Stern?
No, because is it the stern?
I don't know.
The bow?
Just making guesses.
The bow.
On the bow. Yeah. On the starboard side.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's like grabbing on to this rope, and he's just got like this explorer adventurer.
The
pose.
Way when Jack Sparrow was introduced, exactly. That same stance.
And I was just like, "That's Jack Sparrow."
That's funny.
And all like the belongings, like the precious belongings. I just love him so much.
Yeah, his obsession with material things.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It was just so funny.
So now we have to pick which animal you are.
Yeah.
Do I have to go first?
No, you guys could.
I think we should sidebar.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Who do you? I'll turn my head over.
Who do you think?
I'm in between lemur and retriever.
Maybe it's both.
People.
Maybe he's a golden lemur.
A lemur retriever.
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
I like how you're acting as if you didn't hear us.
Oh, no, I couldn't hear a single thing.
Stephanie, Italian Explosion, said mixture of... She said between lemur and golden retriever.
Okay.
And so we decided to morph the two together, so you are a golden lemur.
Wow, this is my first time hearing this. I'm so shocked.
You're shocked?
Yeah. Okay, I could live with that. I like both of them.
You want a moment to kind of compose yourself?
Yeah, I think I need a second to.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not like excitable enough to be the retriever all the time.
Uh-huh.
But you're also not like greedy enough.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You're not like annoying.
Which is insinuating that he's greedy though.
You guys have never seen me outside of work. Maybe I am greedy. Maybe I have a pile of trinkets and
you just have a bunch of jars of dirt at home.
Did you say tree gift?
Trinkets. Tree gift.
Alex, the fuck are trinkets?
No. Trinkets.
Trinkets.
I do have a lot of trinkets. Anyway, moving on. Paul, go ahead. Let's hear your favorite animal.
Okay, so I love the cat.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know me from Suzume, you know, or Suzume.
Yeah.
I have a weird obsession with cats and feel for them and love them. Doesn't mean I'm not a dog person. I love dogs equally. Mm-hmm. But there's something about cats that is just their insouciance. They're sort of above it allness. But still, like, when the chips are down, like, they're going to freak out and, you know, and do what they need to do. So, and he's so perfectly captured here and really is a character and still a cat. Like, one of the other big laughs was when the lemur is putting all his trinkets up on the shelf and the cat walks over and just, like, knocks one of them back.
It was so good.
So, I love the cat. All right, guys, who am I? Sidebar? Okay, let me.
Yeah, sidebar. I think.
Oh, I'm going to take my headphones off, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to stop them from here. Yeah. Just play into it. I think I'm going to go with Golden Retriever for Paul. I feel like he's just so jolly. And
I think he's a mix between Golden Retriever and Capybara.
Okay.
He's a Capybara on his lunch break.
Yep.
He's a Retriever every other time.
Okay. All perfect.
Right. I didn't know the lyrics to Even Flow.
Yeah.
And then, but I knew
who
them
does
so.
Know the lyrics? Like, Even Flow.
Something like. Butterflowers.
Is it butterflies or butterflowers?
I said butterflowers.
Oh, I think it's butterflies.
I don't think he says anything.
Yeah, he just kind of says words.
He just mumbles.
Yeah. Well.
I love Eddie better, but okay.
We decided. So I said Golden Retriever.
Excellent.
I said you're a capybara on your lunch break.
Very true.
And a Golden Retriever every other time.
Excellent. Yeah. I like it.
I think you have that jolly sort of way about you.
I can
very,
live with
very
that.
Friendly mm-hmm. way about you
okay.
that the Golden Retriever has.
Yeah, yeah.
You also didn't give Stephanie one.
Oh, because we sidebarred after Stephanie. Okay. So do we sidebar?
Yeah, we should sidebar.
Okay. Oh, wait, no. We keep our... Actually, we keep our mics. Excuse me. All right. What did you actually
say? I'm going to stick with Kat. I think she has like a cat vibe about her.
We have to go with... Oh, sorry. Cat, and then what else? So it can't be capybara. It can't be the golden retriever.
No. Lemur?
Oh, what the? Size-wise, lemur. Yeah.
Sort of like, yeah. Sort of like wave, like
I heard the word size. Yeah. And I'm concerned.
Kind of carries.
But there's like a bit of the bird in her too. No.
Yeah, a little bit of the bird, which I don't think any of us have. I think Ralph is the closest to the bird in the entire department.
No. What is Ralph? Ralph. He's the whale. He's All right, Stephanie. We have your keep going with spirit animal. Alex is sticking with cat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I added upon that that you are also the bird.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some bird vibe.
There's there. A bird vibe.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also size wise lemur.
Okay. See, that's I heard the word size amongst the whispering, and I was very concerned.
Yeah.
As to where that was going.
That's where it went.
Okay.
Yeah. We mentioned the lemur. We thought about it. And, like, you're not greedy like the lemur, but there is a.
There's an annoyingness of the lemur there.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
I appreciate the bird, though. That was like one of the coolest characters, the bird is cool. I think.
Yeah, the bird was
regal, cool. I think we would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was like a queen type of queen. Energy there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bird was very stoic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just stoicism to it.
And how sweet was like the relationship with the cat? Like how the cat was always kind of sitting in front of her and kind of looking up at her and trying to get her approval.
There was definitely a motherly. There was like a motherly relationship there that I thought was really interesting.
And without doing much, you know, the bird just kind of sits and steers the boat. And at one point even kind of squawks at him, like, get away from me.
Yeah.
There is this relationship between them, and they do it in such a short time. And again, without dialogue and just...
Movements and expressions. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the cat.
Yeah.
I think, Alex, you mentioned this before, but you were so right that the eye expressions are so cool.
Yeah.
Like the body language itself is like,
it's great.
But I feel like so few animation movies focus on the eyes.
Especially CG animation.
Yeah.
And the cat's eyes especially were the most... Like,
They dilate. They grow really wide. Mm-hmm. And
it conveys like the emotion so much, because even like the lemur and stuff, you can kind of see how like they're like the pupils like dilate depending on how they feel.
Yeah.
And I think it helps the emotions come across so much easier.
Absolutely.
I love that part.
What's some of the repeated imagery that we see in the movie?
The whale.
The whale.
Mm-hmm. Which the whale came in several times as like a sort of saving grace.
Yes.
Like each time things got really, really bad. Like the whale didn't show up until things got really, really bad.
Yep.
So like the first time, not really bad, but when they really needed it. Like
if someone was going to die or,
So first we see Cat like is about to drown.
Yeah.
First the whale first shows up when Cat is on top of the big cat and makes an appearance.
He does come by.
But you get, when the flood first gets, the whale appears. And the cat kind of gets scared and goes like, meow, like, you know, a scared meow.
Yeah.
And then you don't see it again until Cat almost drowns. And that's when you realize, okay, this whale is chill. It's not like a sea monster.
Yeah, right. He's not a sea monster. He's an animal. And that's the thing, is it, you can make an equal case that he's doing it on purpose or he just happens to be doing it, you know, like, cause like, you know, you can't tell what the whale is thinking, but. He just seems to be kind of coming by and then lifts Cat out of the water.
Yeah.
But it's more because he just was there and then rose out of the water and just happened to pick him up with him. And the same when the sail is stuck in a tree and he comes over and then jumps out of the water and knocks everybody loose.
Yeah.
You can sort of see it either way as that he was doing it on purpose or just happenstance.
Yeah.
And do we – I guess we're here. Mm-hmm. The last time we see him – Wait, do we build our way up to that?
We can. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting there.
Let's just say, okay, we're going to come back to that one. Yeah. So we see him one more time in the last scene of the film. But there's something big that happens before that. So for me, the thing, I mentioned it before, mirror imagery, there's a lot of it. You know, you're starting the movie, as you said, them looking into the cat by himself, looking into the puddle of water and seeing his reflection.
Yeah.
Then the most prized possession of the lemur is the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Which then he fights with the
dogs,
the shithead dogs who come in later and they break the mirror. And then at the end, and this is a very sweet moment where Cat now has sort of accepted this family and he sees the lemur with other lemurs and they're all staring at this mirror as if it were a TV.
Yeah.
And he kind of meows at the lemur, like, hey, it's me, you know? And the lemur just kind of looks at him and then keeps looking at the mirror. And he's like, aw. and then walks away. But then the lemur decides to actually go with him and put down the television mirror.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mirror imagery.
There's also the like, blue glass ball. Uh-huh. Shows up a lot throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's, like, not a MacGuffin, but, like, it is kind of convenient that it shows up when they need it.
When they need it, yeah.
A lot of the stuff shows up when they need, like the boat shows up when they need it to. And I wondered if it actually was the same ball that kept, you know, because, like they probably didn't go too far when you think about it, like, from the monk's house that he's living in. They probably didn't go too far, but it just would seem longer and bigger because it's just a bunch of animals, you know, in a boat getting there.
I mean, if they are going with the current, which I believe they are, that might be why all this stuff keeps showing up, because everyone's just going with where this current is.
Yeah.
Oh, but that goes against my theory, because there's just that, you know, everybody seems to be drawn to that altar thing that we talked about, like high up in the mountain.
Yeah.
And I noticed it this time, again, because now I'm looking for it, because I know how this ends up, but like, there is this obvious shot, and you guys probably caught it already, but... where the bird looks at he looks over at the mountain, and the camera kind of moves over and focuses on the mountain. So you see the bird looking at it as if the bird knows something.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense, because the bird seems to be least concerned or surprised when what happens.
Yeah.
Let's get there now. Yeah. So they get to the top of this altar Stonehenge high up in the mountains, and suddenly water starts floating upwards. So it's just the bird and the cat. Water starts flowing upwards, and they start floating, and they're basically this almost like heavenly aura comes, like maybe gateway dimension, some kind of vortex, and the bird happily flies towards it, really. He looks just a little bit like, hey, this is weird, but then he's pretty confident, flies towards it, and the cat is confused, and the cat goes back down to the ground, and the bird disappears, which, you know, like, so the whole vortex disappears, and which led to Jessica immediately... doesn't think about it. Immediately goes, Paul, what the fuck was that? Because that's what we all need immediately, is have everything answered for us.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We all, when we saw that the first time, go, what the fuck was that? And then the cat sees his friends in the boat far away in the water, and he tries to swim towards them. It's choppy waters. He makes maybe even a quarter away, is saved by the ball of convenience.
Yeah.
Ball of convenience on the BOC.
Yep.
And falls asleep on that. And then suddenly the water starts to recede.
Yeah.
This water that's been basically chasing them the whole movie, going up higher and higher, and you're almost like, when is this going to stop? The water starts to recede quickly and unnaturally. And it seems to be tied to whatever happened with the bird going into the vortex.
Yeah.
Well, it's also weird because the earth kind of like cracks open a little bit. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. It was like as this, like the earth like had like this big crack like open in it, and like a bunch of like trees and like all the water seems to like flow down into that crack.
Yeah.
Well, think of it like, I mean, they're in the mountains and the water's receding, so there's going to be canyons everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was also that since all the stuff was underwater, it was basically loosened by all the water. And then once it recedes, it just kind of started to fall.
Right. Like that tree that the boat was on later.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I live in Florida. I don't know what that is.
I thought it was like a continental drift that was happening. Like Pangea happening, but in reverse.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
I think that there's a good case for that.
I actually read something that the movie location is inspired by some islands called like the Falls.
I saw it too. I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot the name, but it's like some island off the coast of Africa. And like it looks like this magical place. So maybe they're on an island and the ocean kind of rushes into the land and then pulls back out. I don't know.
Could.
I'm just kind of throwing.
Spitballing. Yeah. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
I don't have the answers. I don't know, but I thought it was a fascinating thing that happened and surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know where the movie was going to go. And then, you know, when that happened, I was like, oh, and it's, there's something about cyclical that like, you know, again, the movie starts with the cat looking into the puddle of water and ends with the cat looking in the puddle of water. The only difference is now he has his family with him. So he starts his journey alone and then ends it not only accepting, but wanting a family or more people around him, companionship. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking about it because it's almost like you would read that and go, what a happy ending. You know, like the water recedes, everybody's alive, it's okay. Except.
Not everybody.
The poor whale that has been saving their lives, whether on purpose or not, is now ends up beached completely because the water where he was happily swimming through has all disappeared, and now he's just on land, and there's nothing. He's up in the mountains. He's going to die.
Yeah.
Which is the ending of, well, I mean, that is sort of like the final scene in the movie, and then the cute cat comes over and nudges, you know, purrs and
nuzzles him.
Yeah. And then realizes, and again, like when we're talking about like the things that they do, like how they animate the characters, there is this moment where the cat looks around like furiously, like he's, because he just did that thing where when the boat was falling, how he was looking around for a way to save him, and he saw the rope and he climbed up and he helped save the capybara from the falling boat. And now he's trying to do that again with the whale, and he looks around and he just immediately realizes, like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
And it's just heartbreaking. I don't know. I understand why Jessica was bawling and, you know, left me always upset. And that's kind of one of the reasons also why I didn't, like, I've been dying to rewatch the movie, but at the same time, I've been putting it off. And when you guys picked it for this time, I was just like, I do want to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I have a really hard time, even though I know nothing's going to happen to most of the animals, just the whale that we don't really get to know. Just a cat, like, constantly meowing for his life and you know, like, in these scary situations, and just upsets me every time. And then like, the thing with the whale, I was like, I don't want to see the thing with the whale. And now I've seen it three times, so I'm a stronger man for it.
Yeah.
I can handle everything now.
And it was also very sad, because right after he realizes, or cat, I'm gonna, yeah, the cat.
It's fine. Yeah,
it's fine. He, she, whatever.
Yeah.
But after the cat realizes that the whale has, like, you know, has died, it, like, runs over and it looks towards the mountains that she last saw the bird at.
Right.
And then kind of realizes, like, the bird isn't coming back either. So not only did the whale die, but the bird is also gone completely. Like, it was also frantically looking for the bird. Other than trying to find a way to save the whale, it's also looking for the bird. And that's when it kind of realizes, like, oh, you know.
But then, those were his two saviors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whale and the bird were the two animals that kept coming to its rescue every time. And now they're both gone.
They're both gone.
He's kind of on his own now.
But then the dog barks.
Yeah.
And then he looks over and he sees his three friends.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. You were going to say something. I cut you off.
No, I was just saying they were like the two like sentinel, like sort of guardians throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And they're the two that end up dying, which is so sad. But
and that's the thing. Like, I don't know exactly what's being said, but there is certainly something about it where, you know, nature does its thing.
Yeah.
You know, and even so, like, these small animals are sort of there, like, inching for their lives, trying to, like, every day. And the whale's like, and it's funny because I think either you or Jessica said, like, you know, that whale's having a time of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, I said
that. That was you. And I didn't realize you hadn't, I thought you had finished the movie. And so you probably, I don't know if you heard it, but
I did.
Did you hear me say? Yeah. And what did I actually say? I said something like, you know.
For now.
Yeah. For now. Because I didn't know you hadn't seen the ending.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what's being said with it, but there's clearly something being said about you may be thriving now, but it's not always good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can't put it into words, but there's something going on there.
I mean, I could have an optimistic spin on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I get through my life.
Yeah, no, I want you. I'm getting too dark.
Yeah.
So if you want this movie to have, like, a happy ending, if that's just what you want, I can see it as, like, the bird and the whale were these two, like, guardian figures. Mm-hmm. Like, they were there to help when things were dire.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
since the earth kind of healed itself
right.
and the animals are now safe and no longer need those guardians, they no longer serve that purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're no longer needed. So they can retire.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how, like,
right.
I guess that's kind of how a lot of people see the universe and the world in, like, some kind of spiritual sense, is that there are these, like, guardian angels or whatever, or spirits or forces, whatever you know, view the world as. And when you're in a good place, those things aren't necessary because you don't need that outside help. So I kind of see it that way, you know?
I like that. I think that's what I was trying to get to more.
The cat and the dog and the capybara and the lemur, like, they're all good. They're in their little family. They're looking at this puddle. They're all fine. The earth is healed.
Yeah.
They can go and, you know, be reborn or do whatever they need to do in their cycles.
Or take advantage of what's happened now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly as you said, I mean, the bird and the whale are the most sort of kept away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most, what's the word I'm thinking of? It doesn't matter. Well, like what I said, they're not as human with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of are these, like, almost ethereal forces that, as you guys said, they come in when needed. But that's, again, like, that's that sad thing of, like, you know, once you're not needed anymore, it's almost like you're discarded.
Yeah.
And I just felt so bad for that whale.
I kind of saw the bird as, like, we mentioned it earlier, like, a motherly figure, but I caught something while I was watching it, and it was sort of like this thing where The one scene that jumped out to me the most, when they are sailing and they see the stranded dogs, all the capybara, the lemur, and the retriever are all like, you know, trying to get its attention, like, oh, you know, let's go rescue these yeah. animals. Uh-huh. And the bird is kind of like, no, like we have a place that we're going, like, you know,
we I'm have taking a mission.
You. Yeah, we have a mission.
Yeah.
And eventually they kind of are stubborn enough that they're kind of like, okay, you know, we want it. And the bird is just kind of like, all right, you know what?
Fuck
I'm letting
guys.
You take the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've brought you this far.
Yeah.
I know where we're heading. I know what I have to do. And then just kind of goes. And for the rest of the movie, the bird's just kind of sitting up in the front of the ship and just letting them take the wheel. So the bird was almost like a parent guiding its kids through this mm-hmm. through this journey. And when it realized that it can no longer guide them and they have to be left to their own devices to make their own decisions,
yep.
it's kind of like, okay, well, you don't need me anymore.
Yeah, the way I remember it is he actually jumps off the ship. When all the dogs come on,
yeah.
he jumps up and he's like, fuck you guys, and walks up the mountain. The
yeah.
cat ends up following him.
Right.
Or her. Gender doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then what happens is what happens. I was thinking about it, like, this is one of those things that, like, there's not much to support what I'm saying, but, like, there's a feeling as if the humans did something wrong,
mm-hmm.
and this was the, you know, like, they disappeared, and then their sins kind of led to the water rising, and
yeah.
then the animal had to do something to basically sacrifice himself to bring everything back to how it was before.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's 100%, but I mean, like, that's... That,
like,
seems to be, you can make an argument.
Like
for
a
that.
Noah's Ark type of, like, great flood
like
kind
that,
of thing.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Noah's Ark a lot. And in this case, I guess the cat would be, the
I don't
bird
know.
Would be Noah?
See, that's the thing, because and it's not as straightforward as that, because,
yeah.
and that's why I think they do the thing with the whales, to mm-hmm. show that, like, yeah, everything's better for a bunch of them,
yeah.
but not for some of the other ones, yeah. it's not.
I mean, I take a lot of religion classes because it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I feel like this could be one of those films that's analyzed
yeah.
as a religious movie.
I think so.
Not
for
because
sure.
it supports any one religion,
right.
but just like it has so many themes within it. Even
yeah.
like what you were saying about the bird, like rather than a parent, you could see it like that's how gods
yeah.
mm-hmm. are viewed in like a lot of religions, mm-hmm. that they are like parents that will like guide you. And then if you don't want to follow them, they
yeah.
take a step back and
you
they're like, okay,
you, yeah.
you have
you
free
you.
Will,
yeah.
you know? And then, you know, when it's no longer needed, up to, you know, this guy.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
And even like what you were saying about the sins, like that's a lot of like religious stories
yeah.
of that happens, like the sins, and then the earth has to heal itself and
be
purge
cleansed.
Itself.
It yeah. purges itself.
Of
yes.
everything
yeah.
wrong. And then when,
yep.
you know, everything is fine, it goes back to normal and
yep.
it restarts. And
yep.
I feel like that's a big theme in this movie, is just, you know, restarting in that cycle.
Yeah.
yeah.
And the bird
yeah.
is kind of like that sacrificial
mm-hmm.
offering.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what it seemed to me, that the bird sacrificed himself and mm-hmm. everything went back to normal, but back to normal doesn't mean the same thing for everybody. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
yeah, it's great for the dogs and the lemurs and all the land animals. Mm-hmm. Not so great for all the fishes in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else that we want to say about Flu?
I think we've covered everything. I'm very excited to see what this director and animator does next.
I tell you what, I know what I'm making.
Yeah.
I'm making a movie. No, he did say in the interview what he's doing next, but he said it's going to have humans in it.
Okay.
Some dialogue, not a lot, but it will have some dialogue. And that's all he had for us right now.
Okay. So, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's next, and I'm definitely rooting for this to win Best Animated and Best...
I say both.
Yeah, both. Love yeah,
it.
Why not?
If
yeah.
they weren't going to nominate Kneecap for Best Foreign Film.
Right, yeah. Shout out Kneecap.
Shout out Kneecap.
Get the Brits out.
Stephanie, you have to watch that one.
Yeah.
Okay. If I watch that one, you guys have to watch Memoir of a Snail.
I'm fine with
okay.
that. Yeah.
Because that one was also nominated for Best Animated Film.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm curious because, again, Film Critics Group, here we go again. Like, they were talking a lot. There was one guy who loved it, but they were giving him shit for it, and they were saying no. Like, the crazy disparity in tone for them, like, really annoyed them. And I know that's something that could annoy me a lot.
Oh, really?
If it's not done well, and it's rarely done well. So I'm that's kind of why mm-hmm. I would like to see it, because I want to see how they do it.
It is very dark, but that's
yeah.
that's information for another podcast.
Yeah.
Is that our next podcast?
Perhaps.
You're done with animation for a little bit.
Yeah. I kind of need an anime. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be suede.
And I'll be leather.
that was actually good. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was good.
Yeah, you deserve that.
Yeah, now just don't do any other jokes until we finish.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to turn my mic down, and we're going to let Stephanie Oh, before I turn it on. Stephanie, final thoughts.
I think it was really good. I'm going to recommend it to other people, definitely.
Yay.
Who are you going to recommend it to?
I don't know, like my three friends.
The three people I know.
Yeah, the three people I talked to.
Sounds like a sitcom. My three friends. I cannot do F and THs after each other. It's like same as W and V. I can't do it.
Is that like a German thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The W and V for Volkswagen. Sure. Yeah. Oh, I hate it. I'll be like Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Like, I always switch it. Like I hate saying winery because I don't know if it's vinery or winery.
It's winery.
Yeah.
We speak English here.
Yeah. German boy.
Oh, that's a good nickname.
German boy. All right, closing thoughts for Paul.
Closing thought. I fucking love this movie. It's not just my favorite animated movie of the year. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Nice.
I want to live in that soundtrack. I love that cat. And I love how much, as we said, how much it says in 80 minutes and the depth of it. And that we haven't even, you know, we spent an hour on it and we haven't even like really cracked, you know, like what's going on in this movie. But at the same time, it works on different levels because you can just appreciate it as this adventure with these animals. And then you can look at it on a deeper level. And I think it really is a masterwork of, oh my God, I sound like my critic friend or former
master
friend.
Space.
Yeah.
Master of space.
It's a master of space. And he weaves a tapestry of emotions that I cannot. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Speak amongst yourselves.
Oh, that's
great. What was that?
That was the mic.
That was the mic? We need to put some WD-40.
Yeah.
I thought it was your leg.
my wooden leg.
Peg leg. If I was
good old peg leg Stephanie.
If I was the director of this movie, I'd make a sequel called Ebb. So Ebb and Flow. Get it? Like the ocean.
No, we got it. I was appreciating that. That was good.
It was good, right?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I feel the way you should have said it, though. You should have maybe. How could you have done it differently?
I should have done it in a critic voice.
Do it.
No, I don't know how to do that.
What's a critic voice?
Like that voice he keeps doing.
No.
This movie doesn't just flow, it ebbs. And therefore, excuse me. And therefore, the sequel shall be called Ebb.
Ebb. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna end it now on my current favorite Pearl Jam song because we're in a Pearl Jam mood.
We should do our watch this while the song plays.
Oh, we didn't do the. How do I always forgetting this? Yes, let's do that. Let's do that. I'm gonna play it.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to all of us what we're gonna say, but. Let's try to do it as effusive as possible.
What does that mean?
As what?
Effusive. Like with as much emotion as possible.
Oh, okay.
My gosh. Fucking. I'm sorry, I read the dictionary at night.
Just any emotion we choose?
Well, no, effusive would be like effusive praise.
Yeah.
You know, like if you say effusive praise, right? Like, so a lot of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
should we do it in unison?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we do now. So on three. One, two, three.
Watch this! I think that's our best one yet.
That was pretty good.
Bye.
Oh, wait, I'm fading the wrong thing. Bye.
Bye.